Yeah, the Monty Show on a Monday. What is up with you? I'm Monty. That's Jake.
What's up?
Hi, Jake. Hi. Always average to see you, friend. You're going to let me get away with that?
It's only Monday. My tolerance is still high.
Exactly right. We have a long weekend of us. There is a lot to talk about today. Social issues again. I know we talk about this a lot on this show, but should athletes be commenting on social issues? That's a big question for me because today it's Jay-Z, it's Chris Long from the Eagles, it's Magic Johnson on Michigan State. I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of prominent celebrities and athletes commenting on social issues, and I think there's a lot of fans who don't like it. Somebody called Tom Brady's daughter, quote, an annoying pissant, so he hung up on them. Can't believe that. We got to talk about the Thunder. Who's more of an MVP? Is it Steph or is it KD to that team? That's a huge discussion. We've got Kuz versus Poeltl. Indian Heads, misspelled State of the Union invitations. Chelsea did absolutely nothing by making a significant purchase today.
You're such a hater.
Oh, no, I'm bitter. Yeah, it's always going down for real on The Monty Show. Find me on Twitter, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. So we are live on Periscope. We are live on Facebook Live. And, of course, you are listening to us on our podcast. Just search The Monty Show in iTunes or find us on SoundCloud. We're not hard to find, trust me. We do this show every day, usually somewhere between 2 and 3 Pacific time, which is 5 and 6 Eastern time, is when we do this show. So, Jake, why don't we hop into athletes on social issues? Because I think this is a big one today. I think this is a big one in general, no matter where you are or what you're thinking about. Should guys like Magic Johnson, should Magic Johnson be talking about what's going on at Michigan State? Yeah, I think absolutely he should, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Magic Johnson is a name. People know him. So being that he's that popular, being that he has that that popularity, he should be using that stage to push social injustice or push his agenda or push whatever he believes in. And so when it comes to Michigan State, yeah, he should be speaking out about that. There's no question about that.
Here's a question, though. Is that popularity credibility? Is that popularity, even more to what I would say, isn't that popularity dangerous? Because if Magic Johnson's just out there, and he is, and for those of you who don't know, Magic Johnson said today that anybody who was involved in the Michigan State cover-up of sexual abuse should be fired.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't specifically mention the biggest name in that group, and that's Tom Izzo, the head basketball coach at Michigan State, who had an assistant coach punch a female Michigan State student in the face, didn't get fired for that.
Right.
And then while still employed after the punch the girl in the face problem, he is accused of sexual assault by another female at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo made that possible. And Tom Izzo has not been fired.
Yeah, and Magic actually went further and said that, you know, he wants to help Tom Izzo and Michigan State in any way they can to find the fastest and best solution to this whole saga. And my whole thing is I don't think that it's not about being fastest and best.
It's
about being right and doing things the correct way. You have to find, no matter what, you're never going to be able to right the wrong that was committed here. But what you can do is you can go way out of your way to do what's right for the victims and what they feel that they should get, as whether that's compensation or maybe there are new laws enacted in college, at college institutes, or, you know, in the state, whatever it may be. You just need to go out of your way to fulfill the victim's wishes. It's that simple.
But see, I don't know. Is it the victim's wishes or is it just do the right thing?
I think it's both. It's both.
I think Tom Izzo should have resigned or been fired the day it came out that he kept that guy on staff. When you have a basketball coach, and actually, I want to go back a little further than that. Who's involved in making the decision that says it's okay for Tom Izzo to keep an assistant coach who punched a Michigan State female student in the face? Like, how did that become okay? Because at some point, somebody said, yeah, this guy can keep his job. Tom Izzo certainly co-signed on it, and somebody at the university, my guess, the athletic director, who, by the way, resigned, and the president who resigned, I've got to believe they signed off on it. So if they're gone, why is Tom Izzo still there keeping his job?
Because Tom Izzo is the face of that institution, I guess. I mean, I'm not saying that he should still have a job. Frankly, the first day you have hard evidence, proof that he did something he shouldn't have done, see you later.
I just don't see how he's allowed to keep his job. I don't know. I mean, it really bothers me that that's happening. But Magic Johnson comes out today and says, well, if they, you know, they need to step down or be fired. I'm asking Magic, like, what if they don't? What if Michigan State doesn't fire Tom Izzo? What if Mike D'Antonio, or Mark D'Antonio, excuse me, the head football coach, who's had sex assault after sex assault after sex assault with his players, what if D'Antonio doesn't do anything about that? What if D'Antonio says, oh yeah, this is fine. This is fine. Why is this a problem? Do you not fire that guy like right now? And if you're Magic Johnson, are you going to stop sending Michigan State checks?
Apparently not.
I don't think so. And that really bothers me. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm fed up. Is that the right way to put this? I'm fed up. I'm done playing this game where guys like Jay-Z, you know, go on Van Jones's show and then Donald Trump's got to attack Jay-Z over black unemployment. And
well, you can just see the natural progression of things when a guy like Jay-Z, as successful as he has been for black America, goes on Van Jones's show. And they basically have what some would call as a hating session on a lot of what Donald Trump has done. Now, I'm not saying I disagree with a lot of what Jay-Z said, but, you know, everybody's got their opinion on it. So my point is, Jay-Z's a perfect example of a guy who didn't have to speak up but did.
I think it all I think it absolutely matters,
yeah.
By the way. I think it is not only important, it is vital that we get more Jay-Z.
Yeah.
That Chris Long from the Philadelphia Eagles, the defensive lineman, son of Howie Long, Chris Long said if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, he's not going to the White House to celebrate.
Right.
Is that a problem?
Problem for who? I think it's the right thing to do. If that's your stance on things, you should take that step. If you feel like, A, Donald Trump, you know, shouldn't be in the White House, let's say. B, he hasn't done anything productive. If you just feel negatively about the whole thing and you don't want to go, then don't go.
Do you care on the whole, though, that athletes say stuff like that? Steph Curry, because you're a Warriors guy.
Mm.
Do you care that Steph Curry says, I'm not going to the White House? Were you like, yeah, atta boy? What were your thoughts when you heard Steph Curry was like, no, I'm not going?
Well, I wasn't, yeah, atta boy, but I was just saying, you know, I think it's, hey, at least he's taking a stance either way. You know, I'm not looking to agree or disagree with him so much so as to see him take a stance on social issues because he's Steph Curry. He's Kevin Durant. He's LeBron James. He's whoever you want to point to. They have this massive following. And it's really, it's Jemele Hill is a perfect example. That is why she tweeted the way she tweeted against Donald Trump, because she understands that on Twitter specifically, she has that kind of following. People will see what she says.
I would agree with that.
And it stirs up, you know, a whole conversation. And maybe she was willing to get suspended and take discipline for that. She understood it was against the rules, but she still did it anyway.
But you have to know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, you have to understand that there are consequences.
There are consequences for your actions. For Chris Long, for a guy like, you know, Steph Curry, there's no consequences, and nor should there be, because I think that's called your American rights. It's what pisses me off about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I think Colin Kaepernick's not in the league because he expressed himself as a black man in our country. You don't have to agree with him or disagree with him. I'm just telling you, if Colin Kaepernick had never said any of that, never knelt down, none of that, he's got a job in the NFL today.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Does.
He's
yeah.
in the league. I don't have any doubt about that.
Yeah, I agree.
So for me, that's the way I feel about it. But I also feel strongly about radio, and something today really tweaked me. Really tweaked me. Tom Brady goes on WEEI every single week. Every single week, he goes on WEEI, as of course my phone goes crazy. Tom Brady goes on WEEI every week in Boston.
Yeah.
And he does the Tom Brady Show. And WEEI and Boston are a longtime partner, or WEEI and the Patriots are a longtime partner. Tom Brady's radio show every Monday morning on their morning show is built into that contract.
Yeah.
So one of the other hosts on the station, not the morning show host, one of the other guys on the station called Tom Brady's daughter an annoying pissant. That's a direct quote. Annoying pissant. So it's Monday morning. Tom Brady, right before he's going to get on the plane to fly to Minneapolis for the Super Bowl. Big, big moment. Like, everybody's listening. Everybody, right? Tom Brady says to them, hey, you know what, guys, I got to put an end to this right now because I'm pretty upset that that guy called my daughter an annoying pissant.
Yeah.
To kind of paraphrase what he said.
Yeah.
The guys on the show, to their credit, said, yeah, it's terrible. He's been suspended. The radio host was suspended all week. Why wasn't he fired? He called somebody's daughter an annoying pissant.
Yeah.
Why was he not fired?
Yeah.
That I don't understand. But is Tom Brady overreacting here? Because Twitter kind of attacked Tom Brady today. I already see one Periscoper, as we do this show live on Periscope, you know, one Periscoper saying he's being a crybaby. I don't think Tom Brady's overreacting at all. If the guy's not fired, I'm not going on the station. Once the guy gets fired, I'll come back on the station.
Yeah, I think you can't say things like that about anybody's children. It just is that simple. The Tom Brady's daughter's 5 years old. She yeah. has nothing to do with anything that you would be talking to Brady about. And so I just think it was inappropriate. It was foolish. You shouldn't be saying things like that.
That's RKB the assassin.
Oh, RKB has returned.
He's a New Yorker. A New York fan, I should say. But look, I don't think it's sticks and stones. I actually agree with Tom Brady. I think that the guy should have been fired, and I wouldn't go back on the station until it happened.
Yeah.
You've got New England. You've got Philadelphia. Who are you picking? Super Bowl, Sunday.
Tom Brady,
I know it's
Monday. All day. Tom Brady all day. I have to.
Do you buy
to.
The white jersey thing? Because they're wearing the white jerseys. And white jerseys, well, I think it's 11 of 12 of the last Super Bowls a white jersey have won.
I didn't buy the whole Super Bowl curse thing. You know, the team that's hosting the Super Bowl, their stadium, they don't go to the Super Bowl. So essentially the home team, it just doesn't happen. So
right.
The Vikings lose. They don't go to the Super Bowl. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it is a thing. The white jersey thing. He said several amazing moments in the white jersey. So maybe it is a thing. I'm not so sure I believe in the jersey color as much as I believe in Tom Brady and that team.
Oh, I totally believe in Tom Brady and that team.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the jersey color. But man, I 100% believe that Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's close. I think it's one of those things where you have a guy in Tom Brady that is going to, he's trying to, what, his sixth ring? I mean, he's just the most dominant player of his era.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think you have a not quite ready Philadelphia Eagles team. Like, they're good. The NFC was okay. I think the Eagles just are not on par with the Patriots. I think the Patriots win.
And here we go. I'm assuming that's RKB. Not sure, though. Periscoper saying he's a system quarterback. I'm sure you can say whatever you want. He's about to win his sixth ring, so he can be a system quarterback. I'll take it.
I'll take it all day.
Was it the system quarterback who came back in last year's Super Bowl to win? There's so many great examples of Tom Brady time. Like, I just can't get down with that.
Yeah, I am not a Patriot fan whatsoever. As a casual supporter of Meyer and we, the Oakland Raiders, he fumbled. There is no such thing as the tuck rule unless it was to keep Al Davis out.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen. I think he's the most clutch athlete in the history of all professional sports. A 5-time Super Bowl champion, a 13-time Pro Bowler.
They're saying
a four-time Super Bowl.
He's not a choker.
A 4-time Super Bowl MVP. Like, are you kidding me?
Bro, he doesn't know what choke means.
Yeah, come on. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback in the history of football, and I think he's the most clutch athlete ever. And again, not to even be sensationalistic. I mean, you have to win 5 Super Bowls is not a system.
Yeah.
That's a player.
It's dominance.
To win Super Bowls with Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola. That to me is very emblematic of just how awesome Tom Brady is. So I give him a lot of credit for that. Let's move to Sixers and Thunders in the NBA. Sixers and Thunder.
Yeah.
Singular, not
yes.
plural.
Yes.
Heat, Jazz, Thunder.
Yes.
Is that a rivalry? We saw an interesting little Embiid, Russell Westbrook thing where Russ got dunked on and then dunked on and Embiid stared him down after he dunked on him. And
yeah.
I'm not a Russell Westbrook fan at all. I don't like him. I think he's a very selfish player. I think he is a guy that he's on a team that relies on him now. And I think PG and Melo certainly help. I think Steven Adams is having a career year, so I think that helps.
Yeah.
And his numbers are a little down. He's not going to average a triple-double because he's got more help, and I get that.
And you wouldn't expect him to, though.
Right, I get that. That's what I'm saying. I get that, okay?
Yeah.
But I still don't think he's this all-world MVP player. Like, people still put him in the MVP conversation. I think it's Harden, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant. And I don't see how it's anybody other than those three.
Yeah, my trouble with Westbrook is he's not a winner right now. I could see him getting there at some point.
But
in
his
career.
That really have anything to do with the MVP?
I think it does, because I think you can make a better case for a Kyrie or a Steph or a KD because they're on winning teams.
Wait. I don't think that matters at all.
I think it does.
No.
Who's
the most valuable player to their team? If Russell Westbrook's not going to make the playoffs, but he's going to average a triple-double, what would that team be without him, is my point.
Well, they're not a playoff team, right?
Well, yeah, but I think that if I look at these guys, there's not a player on one of these crappy teams. Is there a Laker that deserves MVP talk? Is there a Sacramento King that deserves MVP consideration? Well, no. So they're not going to get on there. But Andre Dawson of the Cubs in, what was that, 1987, was the best player in baseball that year. Ken Griffey Jr. every year. Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh every year. Like, I can think through the annals of history, Michael Jordan deserved to be MVP in years that they were not championship caliber.
Right.
He deserved that. So I don't think it matters. I think people put too much on winning. If you want to talk about singular legacies, yeah, you got to win. Why is Tom Brady the best quarterback ever? Well, he's got 5 rings. That's why he's the best quarterback ever.
Right.
That matters to me. When I look at things like MVP, I think it comes down to Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. I love both their games. I enjoy watching both those players. I think Kevin Durant is overrated. I think Steph Curry is the engine that makes that team go. When they lost 2 years ago, why'd they lose? Well, Steph disappeared in the finals. LeBron had this amazing comeback without Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry is far more valuable to that team. And I think he's that guy that's able to light the fuse on that powder keg of Oracle Arena,
right?
Much more than Durant is.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think the Warriors are built around Curry, certainly. I think when he's not on the floor, and he actually missed time this year, so we actually got a good example of what they are without him with just KD and Klay.
They're
slower. And I think they're slower. I think the creativity is much less. I think you get a lot less of the Curry just kind of running around looking for an opportunity to either move the ball or ball handle and get his shot. That's really what makes them elite, because what happens is Curry will bring the ball up, they'll run a set, maybe they don't get the shot they want, and it winds up back in Curry's hands, and he comes up with some just kind of oddball play that you would never expect, and it winds up in a three, and then like you said, Oracle just lights up.
Yeah.
So I would agree that they're built around Curry. In the playoffs, I think Durant is just as worthy as Curry, but I think all around, I would agree. Curry is more meaningful to the team. I wouldn't disagree.
So where do you put James Harden, let's say? Let's talk about, because he's been hurt at times.
For me, he's top five. He's not ahead of Kyrie. He's not ahead of Curry
or Durant.
Wow,
you put Kyrie, the Celtics, obviously.
Celtics Kyrie, not Cavs Kyrie.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, because I think he's been the whole team this year. I mean, look,
who else?
No Gordon, right? And you're a Gordon guy. So
I'm a Gordon guy.
And just the other night, we were watching him, and we said, this is where they need Gordon Hayward. They need that extra talent on the floor.
I would agree.
To get that bucket or to push them over the top in certain moments. When Kyrie's not on the floor, they don't score.
Dude, I'm struggling to find somebody else in the Western Conference. Golden State, Houston, there's nobody on San Antonio.
No.
Jimmy Butler, maybe on Minnesota. Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook's always going to be in the conversation because he's a dominant player. He just is.
Damian Lillard, they're 5 over in 7th place.
He's not going to win. He will not win an MVP in Portland.
I don't think there's really anybody. All right, Boston, you say Kyrie. Who on Toronto deserves it? It's not DeMar.
No, it's not. I don't think there's a guy on Toronto that deserves it.
Although I'll say, you know, Kyle Lowry's having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he is balling out.
I just don't think he's MVP caliber. He's playing the best that he can, and that's not quite MVP of the league best.
Yeah, I can't think of another guy.
The Eastern Conference is light. There's no question about it. It's LeBron and Kyrie.
That's the conversation that needs to be had. Is LeBron? What about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, he's there,
Mr. Traveler. By the way, we were watching highlights of Giannis, and not, you call me a jerk if you want. Nobody gets away with more travels than Giannis. Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, he travels more than any other player in the NBA. I just don't. Does Giannis deserve MVP?
Not this year, but I think in the next several years, he's in the conversation every single year.
Ben Simmons.
Not yet. He will be, though.
Wow, really?
He's not there yet.
Man, they're a surprise team. And Ben Simmons is their best player. Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid? I'm taking Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, I think if I'm ranking them, I mean, I think Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant. So Curry's my one. I think James Harden's my two. Although they've won without him because Chris Paul's been superhuman.
So good. So good.
So I could flatulate. Oh, wait. I mean, fluctuate back and forth. Is that what I did there?
Yeah, I see.
Anyway, point is, I would go Steph 1. I think I would go Russell Westbrook 2, KD 3, Harden 4, and I whoever else in their cousin.
I don't know how Kyrie's not in your top 4. I just don't. I guess we just look at it.
Here's the thing. What are the Cavs without LeBron right now? Well, LeBron's got to be top 5. LeBron's got to be top 5.
Well, sure he is.
Okay.
But he's not in your top 4, right?
No, he's 5. Okay. That's why I'm saying. So Kyrie's 6th. If I go Steph, Russ, Harden, KD, LeBron, Kyrie, I'd be just fine with that. If somebody put that on their ballot, I can make an argument for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's totally an opinion-based game. For me, I think LeBron hasn't had the same year he had last year. I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying this year hasn't been as good as last year was. And what I am saying is this year's been Kyrie's season to show that he can have his own team. And I really feel like he is top 5. For me, it's Curry, Kyrie, Westbrook, KD, and LeBron. Harden's not top 5 for me. He's been out. He's not as good of a defender. I'm not saying Curry's a good defender or Kyrie's defender.
Steph Curry's a terrible defender. He is a terrible defender. You think Steph Curry's a good defender?
I'm not saying he's a good defender, but I'm not saying he's terrible.
Are you a Warriors apologist?
No.
Oh, I think I think you are. You're really? You're at least a Kevin Durant apologist.
I am.
Wow, good Periscoper saying that Harden's not top. James Harden does not get the love that
overrated,
I think he deserves.
Dude. He's a scorer, not a player. He is an all-out scorer. He can beat anybody in the league anytime he wants to get a bucket. He's not
okay,
a
defender.
Okay,
so let's do an MVP because it's a Periscoper. Let's do an MVP without James Harden in the top 5.
Yeah.
I think Steph is number 1.
Okay.
I think Westbrook is number 2. I think, boy, if Westbrook's number 2... I think KD, well, no, you know what? I think LeBron's number 3, KD 4, Kyrie 5.
Okay, that's fair. I think
LeBron's got to be over. See, it changed because all of this stuff goes on. Like, you have this mental game that you go through.
Right.
Because there's so many factors. Like, James Harden's been hurt. I get that. The Cavs have been terrible. I get that. The Warriors, I feel like, are not the same team without Steph. So I kind of knock KD down a rung for that. And by the way, the immaturity thing with Kevin Durant is frustrating.
It's so weird.
It is so
I don't know where
frustrating
it came from.
To watch.
I don't understand where it comes from. Now I understand. Wait, let's finish the MVP conversation before we get into that. Let's finish the MVP conversation first. So for me, my top 5 would be
without Harden.
Without Harden, yeah. Harden wasn't even in my top 5 to begin with, so I'm fine with that.
You're such
so for me, it's Curry, Kyrie, LeBron, KD, and Westbrook. Those are my top 5.
Wow, so Westbrook is 5.
Yeah.
Westbrook is guy. Westbrook is five. Not one or two or three. He is five.
What do all the guys in front of Westbrook have that he doesn't?
Man. Well, you're going to say rings, but this isn't a champion. This isn't a legacy conversation.
Right, but it matters.
Not in the MVP.
How can you be in the MVP discussion?
Listen, if you want to say it matters, Jake, at the end of his career, great. But when we're talking about who's the most valuable player to his team in a particular season, what does a ring have to do with that?
Because you can't be considered the most valuable player of the NBA if you've never even been deep into the playoffs. You've never had those challenges. You've never played.
All these guys have been into the playoffs. All of these guys. And the Rockets and Harden have been deep. The Rockets, it's Westbrook without a ring. Westbrook hasn't won a ring.
That's what I'm saying. Harden's not in my top five.
Man, you're crazy. But, yeah, okay, don't put him in your top five, but don't say it's because he doesn't have a ring. Like, that to me is, that's just, I don't know. That sits with me the wrong way. By the way, let's talk some Lakers.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma dunked all over Jakob Poeltl.
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree now that Kyle Kuzma is their best player?
Yeah, he is.
On the Lakers?
Yes.
Who's a close second? It's hard for me to say it out loud.
I don't feel like it's Ingram. He doesn't feel like he's had head this year.
It's not.
You know, he doesn't have that. He was the guy last year, but this year it just hasn't been there.
There's a real problem.
I struggle with Lonzo. I know that they're a better team with Lonzo on the floor, and I'm not trying to hate on Lonzo, but I really struggle with the idea that he can be the second best player on a team when he can't shoot, and he turns the ball over a lot. But
Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Julius Randle's their second best player. And that's hard to say because, one, I don't think he gets enough minutes. Julius is a 24-minute-a-night guy.
Yeah.
Because he, a lot of times, doesn't have control of his emotions. But what we saw against Valachunas in Toronto, the way he attacked the basket, if you didn't see it, Randle elbowed Valachunas in the face accidentally going up for a shot.
Basketball play.
Yeah, Valachunas comes down and body blocks Randle in return. Randle gets a technical. Valachunas gets a technical.
And a common foul on Valachunas.
Right, but Julius Randle handled that really well. What was his response? Go attack the basket. Go whoop some ass. And that's exactly what he did, and he played really well. He doesn't do that a lot. A lot of times he'll get a double technical and get ejected.
Right.
A lot of times he'll lose his mind. He's actually playing quite well. And his 36 average is 19.2. In this season, he's 13.7 because he just doesn't play enough minutes. I know they want to trade him. He's their second best player.
I don't know why you would. I don't understand that mentality. Why are we talking about trading Julius Randle when
they
there
got
are other
a clear
options?
Cap. They right. got a clear cap. They want to sign two max contracts. The Lakers this summer want to sign two max contracts. And to do that, you're going to have to figure out what the hell you're doing with Lou Aldang's contract. And you're going to have to probably trade Clarkson and Julius Randle. Which I'm okay with because I look
if
up and down.
If you're going to get two max players, I'm fine with that.
They have Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo Ball. Those three guys are not going anywhere. They seem to really like Josh Hart. Josh Hart's a good ninth or tenth guy on your team. He can handle. He can shoot a little bit. Other than that, I kind of look at guys like Tyler Ennis. Caruso is better than Tyler Ennis.
Yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, well, he's playing because he's a good defender.
Right.
And sometimes he gets hot and plays well. But other than that, it's Kuzma, Ingram, and Lonzo Ball that you're married to. And, hey, you know what? You can kind of do without anybody else because you're going to sign two max players. Lonzo hopefully is going to come back at some point in our lifetime and play again.
Not sure when that is.
He's dealing with some knee strain. But I think they have three players that they will not part with. And I agree with it. Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball. Everybody else is expendable, including Julius Randle.
Isn't that how it should be at this point in their rebuild?
Yes. Yes, it should.
I mean, you should have a couple guys, and then everyone else you can deal.
There was an interesting article, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the NBA columnists said that they should extend Lou Aldang, who, by the way, doesn't play for them, doesn't even come to the arena, nothing. Like, Lou Aldang is just not part of their existence. I think it is one of these things where they should extend Lou Alting to create more cap space. There's a loophole in the CBA that would allow them to extend him and lower his it.
Yeah.
And I say you do that. Unless you can move him and you can take on, like, the Bradley Beal contract is an interesting one. Detroit's trying to trade Bradley Beal. They won't trade him to the Lakers for Jordan Clarkson. They won't do it. So it just kind of makes you wonder what happens. But I think, you know, on Periscope, somebody was asking about the value of a Julius Randle. You know, that's interesting because you can't really take much back in return for Julius Randle. Because if your goal is to sign two max players this coming summer for the Lakers, which I hope that's their goal, because as a casual fan of the Lakers, I want them to be good. And to be good, you have to buy free agency in this
league.
Yeah,
you need two players at
least. It's, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I don't think this is a draft league anymore. I think it is players
control. Well, it's not a draft league because nobody knows how to draft. Everybody drafts terribly. And I think if you draft correctly, you're looking good. You know.
But why is Boston good?
Because they got Kyrie.
You traded for Kyrie. You signed Gordon.
Look, I'm not doubting that you win by signing talent, but I'm not ready to say it's not a drafting league. I think you just need to draft correctly.
I think the model to win in this league is you've got to have two max players, and you have to draft support players.
Yeah.
So that you can control them for a long period of time. Imagine if you had Russell Westbrook and LeBron James on the Lakers. Well, now you're supporting them with Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. Does Lonzo fit into that picture? I don't know. But it's a hell of a lot easier to win with LeBron and Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably 20 wins better at least.
Or think about PG and LeBron.
Because that, like, was the original conversation.
Because Paul George has said all along he wants to be a Laker.
Yeah.
And LeBron, everybody knows, wants to play in L.A., so maybe he winds up there. I don't know. But if you have LeBron and Paul George, now the world's in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I think that's the motto for this league. You do have to draft smart. I agree with that. Finn Daddy says you got to draft smart. Mitchell and Gobert.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a good example.
But see, here's an interesting thing for all of our Salt Lake listeners, and Finn Daddy included. What will the Jazz do to replace Gordon Hayward? What are they going to do? Because, like, Derek Favors is just eating cap space for you because you need him.
The problem is the Jazz don't have a guy that will put you over the top in a game. Donovan Mitchell is just doing it all on his own.
Yeah.
And I like Donovan Mitchell. He's a pure scorer. He's a great player. He's a great draft pick. I mean, well done. But you can't – Donovan Mitchell is a two guy. He's a guy that you want off the ball and coming to get it.
I'm, like, looking at their roster, and I'm like,
it's not good.
Rodney Hood's a decent player.
He's
Donovan
a shooter,
Mitchell,
though.
Yeah. But when Rodney Hood's at his best, he's dunking the basketball. He's getting in the lane. He's hitting that mid-range J. He's getting to the cup every one out of every seven possessions. I think Rodney Hood's more than serviceable. Rudy Gobert's the best defensive player in the NBA when he's healthy. Derek Favors is garbage. I've said for 4 years now that they should have dumped him. Ricky Rubio is a serviceable point guard. Joe Ingles is a good perimeter player, good defender.
You got Ricky Rubio's, you got Joe Ingles. I mean,
but like Joe Ingles, the problem, you know who the problem in Utah is? It's guys like Alec Burks.
Yeah.
Can't stay healthy, have never met their ceiling, have never hit their ceiling. Like
it's a waste.
Yeah, they've
it's
never.
It's a waste.
And teams are littered with that across the NBA. Look at the Sixers. Are the Sixers ever better than they are right now today?
I don't know. Let's see where Fultz ends up.
No kidding. Like, Markel Fultz is an interesting one.
He's lining up to be another Alec Burks. I mean, that's what he's lining up to be. The
he
guy
won't
was
even
a
be
straight
that good.
Baller in college, and now he's been a nobody.
What do you do with
that?
With
some
shot?
Mystery
good
shoulder
Lord.
Injury. Like,
well, he's healed from that now. They're trying to figure out how to get him to shoot. Like, that's what they're doing.
How are you such a prolific scorer in college, and then you can't shoot on an NBA practice floor?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I really don't know.
Because that would be a dynamic duo, right? Ben Simmons playing the two or the three, depending on who else you want to put in there. Fultz at the one, and Embiid at the five.
And but the guy everybody's forgetting about
and
is
then,
J.J. Redick. No, J.J. Redick has been incredible
for
that team.
So he could be your two. Fultz could be your one.
Yeah.
Simmons is your three.
Yeah. I mean, Saric is really good for them. I mean, they're loaded, dude. That team is really talented.
That's what I'm saying. You're asking me which rebuilding team is in the best position right now? And I would say Philly. I would say long-term, it's the Lakers because of the money.
Long-term, it's a great point. Yes, that's the perfect way to say that. Today, right now, I would say the Sixers. If Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Lakers, has a good year, it's the Lakers for, like, the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So if
they can sign two max contracts for 3 years at a time, ooh, they're going to be trouble. Going to be dangerous.
Yeah. I forgot how you need, I don't know, what do you need? I don't know. Well, yeah, guys like Exum kill the Jazz. But see, that's what pisses me off about the Jazz. Dante Exum was a bad pick the second it happened.
Yeah, and everybody knew it.
He was a bad pick the second
everybody
it happened.
Everybody knew it.
How is Devin Booker not on the frickin' Utah Jazz? That should
Gordon
be what's
Hayward,
killing you.
Gordon Hayward is still a Jazz if Devin Booker was a Jazz.
Oh, Devin Booker should be in a Jazz uniform. Yeah. He should be a Jazz man.
No, yeah, he's not going to be a Phoenix Sun his whole career. That ain't happening.
Hey, real quick, because I want to get to the state. Did you see the misspelling on the invitations for the State of the Union? Wait till I explain that. But LaMelo Ball had another good weekend in Lithuania against like third graders. The big baller tournament where his old man was the head coach for a game. And you and I disagree on this. I think LaMelo Ball has superstar potential. His top end is Steph Curry. He's that kind of playmaker, and he's showing range for days. Like, he's showing Steph Curry range. He's 16 years old. He has not, just based on what he looks like, I think he's a fourth grader. His boys need to drop. Like, he needs a dump of testosterone quickly.
Yeah.
Once he grows up into his man body, forget it. He's going to be a superstar.
I agree with that. But when we look at what he's doing in Lithuania right now, yeah, it is against nobody. And yeah, it's nice to put up 40 points and be dunking and playing with your brother. I mean, right now, you're literally just out there playing basketball because it's fun. You're not running offensive system. You're not playing against anybody who's better than you. You're not getting better. You're literally just... you're going through the whole thing about just going pro.
Stop talking about LaMelo Ball. Let's talk about Blake Griffin, who's on the verge of being traded to the Pistons, according to Woj.
Woj bomb.
Dun, dun, dun. It is a Woj bomb. The Clippers and Pistons are engaged in serious talks on a deal centered around all-star forward Blake Griffin, league sources tell ESPN. Blake Griffin, superstar or not?
Not.
Nope. I agree.
This is what I said about DeMar DeRozan the other day. He's good enough to hang out with the best of the best, but he's not as good as the best of the best.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Oh, and by the way, he never plays. He's always hurt.
I would agree with that.
That doesn't make the Pistons a great team all of a sudden.
What are the Clippers doing?
Like, burning it down.
Is it Bradley Beal? Because that's not enough. I mean, are you burning it? I mean, you have Austin Rivers. You don't need any other players. Okay, I'll stop right there. The point is, what are you doing with trading Blake Griffin? Because you have no identity outside of Blake Griffin, right?
No, like you don't. I think what they're doing is what they should have done 3 years ago. You should have burned this thing down and started over.
Okay, why do you have the pitchforks out for everybody today? Everybody sucks. Nobody's as good as KD, and I get it. The Golden State Warriors are good. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
You got the pitchforks out today, man.
I'm just telling you, the Clippers are that team that should be way better than they are, and they're managed so poorly that they're never capable of making a deep playoff run.
Lou Williams, Blake Griffin, Austin Rivers, Danilo Gallinari, Patrick Beverley, DeAndre Jordan are their core.
You have two guys on that team. You have two legitimate talent on that team. Lou Williams is a nice scorer. That's what Lou Williams
is. Why is everybody after DeAndre Jordan? Like, somebody help me with that.
He's a defensive difference maker. He is.
Yeah,
he's the guy that you put on a team.
Come on.
The guy that you put in Philly, right? You put him at the four, pair him with Embiid, and let him just play defense.
So wait, do you view DeAndre Jordan as a difference maker?
On defense.
I don't view him as... he's a bit of a shot blocker, but he's not a guy that you're scared to go against. Like, Rudy Gobert's a guy where you're like, yeah, I'm not going in there. I'll pull up for a J. Is DeAndre Jordan the guy you're like, yeah, I better not attack the basket? Am I undervalued? And
I'm not 100% saying he's as good as Rudy Gobert is, because he's not defensively. I mean, Rudy Gobert is an elite defender. But DeAndre Jordan is quality. He's a great player in this league. Yeah, he's not known for his offense. I mean, he's a dunker, right? Lob City, that's what he's known for.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Posterizing guys. So he posterizes guys and he plays good defense in the middle.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
He's okay. He shoots 67% from the floor for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that guy's a 60% free throw shooter.
That's a horrible percentage.
Yeah, 67% from two. His field goal percent from twos.
He's not a shooter.
No, his floor percentage, not free throw.
Well, yeah, because all he does is dunk and, you know, get
layups.
That's
my point.
Yeah.
I'd
love to see his field goal percentage outside of 10 feet.
I'd love to know what they're going to get back from Detroit.
Money. I would guess they get money.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be interesting. I mean, Woj is almost never wrong, and just...
I think the better question is, Bradley Beal's name is getting thrown around in trade discussions, so does that mean the Wizards are done with that setup?
Yeah, they want... What do you mean the Wizards? Pistons?
Yeah.
The Pistons. Yeah, well, I don't think the Pistons were ever married to him. You know, I think the Pistons are one of those teams where... The Pistons are not... I don't know how you fix the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Because I think that they have been rather dysfunctional for some time now. Bradley Beal's a decent player. He's not a difference maker, but they're married in a guard league. They're married to a big man. Like Andre Drummond is their guy. And I don't know how you fix that because for all intent and purposes, it's him and Tobias Harris. Right. I mean, those are their two guys. If you trade Avery Bradley, I mean, you're just not deep enough.
Right.
You're not. There's nobody else there that's like Reggie Jackson's not a great player. Like he's not a team guy. He's a me guy.
Right.
So, and I'm not saying they're rebuilding, but they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix that either.
You don't.
So that's interesting. Hey, so LaMelo, top side for LaMelo, superstar. Does he ever get to? Will he be an NBA All-Star?
That's really tough. Yeah, I think he will. I think he's got more potential than Lonzo has. I think
and he'll be popular, so he might get voted.
Player. Yeah, I mean, he's a better all-around player than Lonzo is. You're more of a fan of his shooting form than I am. I'm not. His form is nowhere near as bad as Lonzo's is.
Right, and it's very fixable at 16 years old.
It is fixable at 16 years old, but it's only fixable if you're willing to fix it. Lonzo's not willing to fix it, and I don't think LaMelo's willing to fix it. I think LaMelo thinks he can shoot from... forever, the way Steph Curry does, and
he's kind of shown that he can.
In Lithuania, play against legit defenders. Play against people who actually know how to play defense.
Yeah, I'm telling. He's 16 years old. I think you have to remember that.
Yeah,
he's 16. I think LaMelo Ball will be a multi-time All-Star because he's going to be really popular, and I think he'll get in the league. And as a rookie, by then he will have probably played 3 years in Europe. I'm hoping that he leaves Lithuania after this year.
He's going to have to figure out the physical side of the game. That's his biggest challenge, in my opinion, is understanding
how to play. Puberty is the biggest part of his game. Because, dude, he's got the shoulders. You can see he's going to have the frame. His arms are as long as his legs. Like, I mean, the guy's got the frame, right?
Yeah, he does. He's got the build.
I think he'll be fine. I hope he goes to Spain, Germany, Israel. I hope he goes to a league that is a step up above Lithuania. You know, I'd love to go see him play in Italy. Go play somewhere where it's legitimate. LiAngelo, I just don't think is a very good... I don't think he's an all-around basketball player. He's older, and he's far less polished, in my opinion.
He's just not as athletic. It's just not there. It's just not... Yeah, I mean, he's the oddball out, if you know what I mean.
And I know it was against high school caliber talent, but LaMelo, the other day, catches an alley-oop and jams it. Like, he has the springs... He's got the DNA.
I mean, he's got it in him. I'm one of those people that says, okay, well, go show it to me. Progress through the difficulty and competition.
Yeah,
I understand that you can dominate in Lithuania. Okay, let's go to Spain. Let's go to better competition and then do it.
Hey, before we get to the Indians removing the Indian patch, we got to talk about the whole State of the Union invitation misspelling mishap. So, you know, the State of the Union is tomorrow, January 30th. Today's Monday, January 29th. So tomorrow is the State of the Union.
Right.
President Trump's first State of the Union. Right. They send out invitations, of course. And they spelled union as in State of the Union. They spelled that incorrectly.
Pan or Pam?
Yeah. They spelled it UNIOM as in Mary. Emma.
That's rough. How does somebody catch that? How does the person that is like, yeah, we're going to print all these out or we're going to email all these out.
Do you get fired for that?
You should. How embarrassed are you? Add it to the list of embarrassments for this administration, dude.
State of the Union.
We're talking about the White House here.
I wish it would have been with a B so you could have been like, oh, it's Barack. That would have been amazing. But do you fire somebody for that?
Yes.
I think
I
you
do.
Have to.
I do.
Right? Like, this is akin to
a newscaster, you know, the whole airplane debacle, you know, people, the names of the victims in an airplane crash, banging
yeah,
out.
San Francisco.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same thing. How do you not catch this? I don't understand.
Yeah. Why are you playing Drake right now?
What's wrong with Drake?
For those of you listening to the podcast on SoundCloud, Drake is playing right now, but it's fine. Nothing. I actually like a little bit of Drake here and there. Hey, what do you make of the Cleveland Indians? In 2019, they're going to remove the Indian head patch and stop using it as a logo. What do you make of that? Do you agree with it? Did you have a problem with the Indians patch?
I didn't have a problem with it, but it also isn't pointed at me in a disparaging way.
Right.
I think,
not the Cleveland white guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so look, if there are tribe members who are not amused by that, they're upset by that, it's offensive to them, and they bring that to the table, I think you have to do something about it. You got to remove it. I don't see why it's not inappropriate to get rid of it and just use the bold C that they have. I actually like that look. I actually like the hat that just got the red block C on it.
Oh,
I think
prefer
that looks
the
nice.
Eye. I prefer the eye.
Yeah, the
Isn't
eye looks
it
good
an
too.
Eye? I think it's an
it
eye.
It is. It is
right?
an eye, yeah.
I think I prefer the eye. Here's the problem. They're not doing it until next year.
Yeah, they need to make money.
So they're going to leverage the Indian head for one more year to make a bunch of money on it, which tells me you don't give a damn about why you're removing it. You're doing it to make money, because not only are they going to sell the Indian head this entire year, but they're going to then turn around and say, hey, here's our new logo, fans. Go ahead and start buying this one.
Right.
So you're going to buy the old Indian head, then you're going to buy the new logos. And this is the problem with what's going on in Cleveland. It's not genuine. It's not because you're concerned that, you know, you have your moral compass is telling you that using the Indian head is wrong.
Right.
No, you just want to make money. That's the biggest issue with it. Oh, by the way, what do you say to the Washington Redskins, who are staunchly not going to change their name from the Redskins?
I guess you want your reputation to look bad. I don't know.
Well, they say that they have tribes that are supporting them using the Redskin name. And I say, hey, if that's what you are, look at the Utah Utes. The Utah Utes use a drum and feather, and like, yeah. I mean, it is, they are named after an Indian tribe.
But I think that is, yeah, I mean, it just depends how the tribe feels about it. You can make a case that it's disparaging or not disparaging. It all depends on how the tribe feels about it. If they feel like it's offensive, in my opinion, you should change it. Take it down. And you shouldn't do it in a way that makes you a bunch of money. Take it down. It's not that hard.
Yeah. All right, before we talk about soft French European football players ruining my favorite club, USC sold the naming rights to the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The LA Coliseum will now be known as the United Airlines Memorial Coliseum.
So it's still the Coliseum.
Yeah, I'm not calling it that.
It's the Coliseum.
First of all, did United Airlines die and take my miles with them? Like, this is the worst name. Now, guaranteed low-rate field in Chicago.
There is nothing that will top that.
Okay, that's the worst of all time for the White Sox, which is good because they're terrible. But the United Airlines Memorial Coliseum makes it sound like United Airlines is dead or something.
Maybe that's where they land all their planes.
I guess that's where your United Jets go to die. I have no idea. But this is a terrible idea. And
again, in the name of money.
The Rams play there for now, and USC plays there. And they're refurbishing the Coliseum. Half the stadium's torn up right now.
Yeah.
I get this. Why would you? It's the Coliseum. Like, make it United Airlines Field at the Los Angeles Coliseum.
The Coliseum by United Airlines?
Yeah, I something. Why does it have to be the United Airlines Coliseum? Because you know who's going to call it that. The TV guys.
Yeah, they have to. They have a choice. Everybody else, every fan and their sister are going to call it the Coliseum.
Yeah. It's ABC and ESPN and Fox and Pac-12.
It's the media. It's
crappy
just the media
Pac-12
that's
network
call it
that nobody watches. They'll call it the United Airlines Coliseum. What?
Speaking of having your forks out. Bitter?
Yeah, I hate the Pac-12. well for the TV deal. Yeah. I still do. It's annoying. Anyway, so there you have that. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Stay froze.
Yeah.
I like this song a lot. It's Big Boy, you know. It's awesome. And then there's Chelsea Football. I'd rather listen to this song instead of talk Chelsea Football. This song by Big Boy. Right? Like, yeah, let's listen to that. Chelsea today bought Olivier Giroud from Arsenal.
Yeah, that's a great move. I know.
First of all, you bought Arsenal's trash. You essentially went dumpster diving at the Emirates and said, okay, well, we got to eat something or we're going to die. We'll eat Olivier Giroud, who's been getting eaten alive by the Premier League for two seasons now. This is not good enough. And you're doing this because you're not going to get Edin Dzeko from Roma. That much is very clear. The transfer window closes in 2 days, and my guess is that Chelsea doesn't believe that they're going to be able to buy Dzeko out of Roma. And I don't get it. Roma wanted to make the deal. The money was agreed to, and you couldn't come to personal terms with Dzeko, which probably means you didn't want to give a guy over 30 multiple years. Okay, might want to break the transfer policy to keep the manager, because I'm telling you now, Antonio is going to leave. Giroud is not, I mean, who? Nobody wants, listen, no offense to Olivier Giroud, but you're French, dude. You're French. Nobody wants you. Like, you're not, you're Olivier Giroud. Arsene Wenger won't play you. Like, you don't make the side on a regular basis. You come in and score goals in the 90th minute and everybody thinks you're neat and they buy your shirt and that's all well and good. I don't want Olivier Giroud at Chelsea.
Dude, are you mad?
I'm hoping that he trips and falls on the way down to the field on his first practice or something.
Giroud or Morata?
Yes. And I think that, to me, this is just terrible. Because we're going to send out, and I'm not saying that Michy Batshuayi is a world beater. He certainly is the greatest thing that's ever played FA Cup football. By the way, he's got a third of the appearances, as I am fighting a gnat right now. He's got a third of the appearances of my friend Alvaro Morata, and he's got 10 goals. Like, okay, hey, you know what? Just play the guy in the FA Cup, and he's going to score 15 goals, right? Might want to give him some run up there. And he does. I'll give Antonio credit. Antonio Conte is a wonderful manager for somebody else next year because he won't be here. Olivier Giroud's a joke. What are we doing? Like, we're one of the biggest clubs in the world and we're settling for a French guy? Are you kidding me right now? Like, Cavani? Cavani wants out of PSG? We flirted with Cavani for how long? Like, he's available. Go get him. Right? What are we doing? You know, like, Sané's out for... No. Like, I could go on about the reasons you should buy in the January window if you're Chelsea right now, and they're just not going to do it. They're not going to listen to me. They're essentially... Chelsea is essentially giving me the middle finger on my America membership.
Yeah.
Like, just don't even bother anymore. Like, Olivier Giroud. And the moment you send me that email with his godforsaken Chelsea shirt, oh, look, our new signing. Nobody wants his shirt. Assholes. Like, nobody wants his shirt. Don't send me the... Listen. Don't send me the solicitation saying, oh, look, Olivier Giroud. Boo-wee. Yee-hoo. Like, I don't want his shirt. I don't want him to play. Shave your awful, terrible beard and just get comfortable. Yeah, just get comfortable in the dugout. Just get comfortable in the dugout because I don't want him on the field. He's an Arsenal man for the rest of his life. This is not Cesc Fabregas who left and went to Spain and then came to Chelsea. Like, this a-hole is coming directly from the other, from, like, the terrible side of London. That's where Giroud is coming from, to the right side of London. He's leaving his red behind for blue, and it just doesn't work. Like, I don't want this guy in our club. I don't want him here. I don't. And don't, like, celebrate it like it's some great sign. My hope is that you settled for Giroud as, like, an emergency.
So what are you going to do the first time he misses a wide-open opportunity?
Break something.
Will you just turn the TV off? Or?
Yeah, break something. I'm so tired of the transfer policy at Chelsea. Like, I'm just so, and I'm fighting this fly or whatever this thing is. So I have an Arcadia door on the back of my house. It's like one of those big four panel sliders, and it's open right now because I live in Arizona and it's like 90 degrees today. I don't feel better. I'm still in
love. Oh my God.
Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. See you tomorrow.